So if you have your Bible, let's make our confession here, our confidence in God, His Spirit to speak to us through His inspired Word today, all right? So let's make our confession. Let's really just get it into our heart and spirit. If it's new for you, that's okay. The word's on the screen. If you agree, we ask you to join us, all right? Would you say it with me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John chapter 8. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth. Notice what Jesus did not say, because this verse is taken, or this scripture is taken out of context very often. He did not just say, the truth shall make you free, or the truth shall set you free. What he said is, if you abide in my word, if you remain in my word, if you continue in my word, then you're showing that you really are my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free or make you free. It's translated both ways. So the message this morning is simply this. The truth I believe sets me free. The truth I believe sets me free. Would you say that with me? The truth I believe sets me free. Truth, I was thinking about this during this week. Truth in any realm is a blessing, or freedom is a blessing. Freedom International, I thank God we have the freedom to come together to worship openly today. To worship Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not everyone on earth has that privilege. Some have to hide, and they can't do certain things. They don't have some of the freedoms that we do, many of the freedoms. So freedom in a national realm to be able to express our worship and to serve the Lord is a blessing. Personal freedom is a blessing. To live free from just whether it's some type of a controlling substance or controlling pattern or just a compulsive behavior, that is a blessing. And spiritual freedom is a blessing. There are some people who are sitting in jails and prisons this morning who are imprisoned in a building, but they're free on the inside because Jesus has set them free. Because they believed truth. So personal freedom is based on spiritual freedom, and spiritual freedom is based on truth. And this is not a your truth, my truth. It's the only absolute, eternal, and inspired truth, the Word of God. Truth is the basis for freedom. Again, that's why Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, or is always also translated, set you free. That's true liberation. It's true liberation when Jesus sets us free. So truth, Jesus is truth in a body, and Scripture is truth in a book. And we cannot separate the two. We can't say that we have Jesus and we love Jesus and reject the truth of His word. They go together. That is why this context here in verse 32, Jesus said, in abiding in His word, says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. But then He goes on in verse 36 and He says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So they're in perfect harmony. In one accord, we cannot separate the Son from the Scripture. This morning, I want to share just three applications here, because if you say, well, Brother Rocky, yes, sets me free, but specifically free from what? The truth sets me free. It's the truth I believe. See, if it was just truth that sets us free, if we have truth, everybody ought to be free. But is everyone free? Huh. Does everyone believe? No. So it's the truth I believe that sets me free. And this morning, and we'll take a moment and go into each one, but I'll just tell them to you up front. The truth I believe sets me free from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. The truth I believe sets me free from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. So let's look at this first one. The truth I believe sets me free from the penalty of sin. So Jesus said, you shall know the truth. If you're abiding in my word, you'll know the truth. That truth will set you free. It'll make you free. Then he goes on in verse 51 and he says this. This is still John chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is still speaking. And he says, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, if anyone obeys my word, he shall never see death. That word see is used in a figurative sense here, and it's also translated experience. So Jesus was saying, if you keep my word, you'll never experience death. Again, two types of death. There is a physical death where our body stops working and our spirit is separated from our body. But there is a spiritual death where we are separated from God by sin. That spiritual death, we can be alive physically and dead spiritually until we are born of God's Spirit and born from above. I want to show you something here that's very important, because not only in this moment here as we read about, but to this present day, some people have a form of belief and it's mental agreement, but it's not heart transformation. And they say, well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe in God and everything. Yeah, I know about Jesus. And yeah, he died. And so it's a mental agreement. There is a belief. It's a form of belief. But it's not believing from the heart in Jesus as Lord. And that makes an eternal difference. Notice what the Bible says. You want to hold your spot there in John 8 or come back to it. I want to read you just a few verses from John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Right at the end of that chapter, verse 23, the Bible says this. This is Jesus. It's an account where he is, you know, he's worked his miracle and he's there and it's the season of the Passover. And it says, now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. Sometimes, you know, it's like, they see something people want to see. I want to see miracles take place. But sometimes people, they want to see the signs. They want to see miracle. And it's, there is a belief somewhat. But verse 24 says, but Jesus did not commit himself to them. So it's like they had a belief, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. He knew what was in people's heart. It goes on in verse 25. He says that Jesus had no need that anyone should testify of man. In other words, Jesus knows human nature. And he knows what's really in the heart of people. So we may say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And maybe we think we're a Christian because we go to church occasionally or because we, you know, believe that there is a God and we believe in Jesus. And I'm not Muslim or I'm not Jewish or atheist, so I'm a Christian. It's by default. That is not how we become a Christian. And so there is a mental belief, but it's not believing from the heart. And Jesus, yeah, they kind of have a belief, just like here in chapter 8, Jesus is saying, if you continue, because there was a belief, he was working miracles, there is a belief, but Jesus said, if you continue, if you remain and abide in my word, then you're going to show that you really are my disciples. And as my disciples, you shall know the truth, and that truth shall set you free. So there is evidence. Notice what he says here. I'm going to go back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 42. John 8, 42. So we're going a little bit further in this exchange. Jesus having this exchange with very religious Jews. As a matter of fact, these were some of the most religious people who've ever walked on planet Earth. But Jesus says to them in verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. How many of you know there's a difference between hearing and listening? Any parents? No. Any wives? Hearing and listening. We can hear something audibly, but really not listen and take it in. And they were listening. They were hearing, in a sense, that they were having a conversation with Jesus. And he was asking, why aren't you really getting it? Why aren't you really listening to my word? It's because they didn't believe. So they were religious. They had the scripture and they knew it in their mind, but they didn't believe truth as he was standing right in front of them as those very scriptures revealed him. That's how blind we can be, and even sometimes religion can blind us. So he goes on in verse 44 and he says this, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Isn't that something? And then he goes on and he says this in verse 47, Jesus still doing the speaking here. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. There is evidence of genuine faith in Jesus as Lord and the indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. There is evidence when we believe in Jesus as Lord from our heart and His Holy Spirit indwells us, there is evidence of it. Are we still human and do we still sin? Yes, at times we do, but there is something different when we have God's Holy Spirit on the inside. The truth I believe sets me free. Would you say that with me? The truth I believe sets me free. Jesus said in that verse 32, you shall know the truth. Now that's not a 2 + 2 = 4, no. As a matter of fact, I was thinking some of those who are listening over at the Bloom Retirement Home. You've never seen me that I'm aware of, and I can't get into where you are right now, but you're listening by CD. And if someone else, maybe we had another brother here that's going to be speaking, sharing a message one Sunday, and they said, well, this is Brother Rocky, I bet they could tell right off the bat that it's not my voice. Because they recognize by personal experience, that's what that word means. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you'll know by personal experience. You'll recognize by personal experience truth, and the truth that you believe and live out is setting you free. It makes you free. So it's powerful. Just like we get to know a person, just like in Spanish, there is a word, saber, is that right? To know more like intellectually. And is it conocer? To know on a personal level. This is a Greek word, gnosko, like a little bit closer to that Hispanic, you know, that Spanish word, is knowing like a personal. It's knowing by personal experience and a personal level. We don't just know truth in our head. Brothers and sisters, we know the truth of Jesus and the truth of the word in our heart. And it makes a difference. The truth I believe sets me free. Let me read you these few verses and then we'll come back to John 8. This is in Revelation chapter 20, because Jesus said, if you abide in my word, if you keep my word, you'll never taste or you'll never experience death. Again, he's not talking about the physical death, but a spiritual death. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead, it says, were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's spiritual death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But thank God, Jesus bore our judgment for us. Jesus experienced our death and our punishment. The judgment we deserve, Jesus took on himself when he suffered and died on the cross, and he conquered death 3 days later, and he's seated on his throne beside his Father in heaven right now. And when his Spirit convicts us of our sin and draws us to the truth that Jesus is Lord, it doesn't matter if we're 4 or 104, doesn't matter if we have money or we don't, how much color we have in our skin, education we have in our mind. We are born again. We are forgiven of all sin, adopted into God's family, and indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. And we believe that truth. We are set free from the penalty of sin. We do not have to go to hell. The truth I believe sets me free. So it sets me free from the penalty of sin, but it also sets me free from the power of sin. John chapter 8, verse 33 says that when Jesus told them, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," they answered and said, "We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone." Really? The nation of Israel was never in bondage. Anyone ever heard of Egypt or Passover or like Moses and Ten Commandments or anything? Their whole history, they've been enslaved for on and off periods. And they said, "We've never been enslaved to anyone. How are you going to say we'll be set free?" And he goes in verse 34, and Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Let me give you a little bit on that word commits. It's written like in a continual sense. In fact, it's also translated practices. I think we have that verse. Is that in the ESV on the screen there? Is it John 8:34? If you'll put it up, if we had the ESV, I wanted to show you that one as well, if it's there. Basically, it just says, I can tell you what it says then. It just says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever practices sin is a slave to sin." And then he goes on in that next verse and he says that a slave does not abide in the house or in the household or in the family forever, but a son abides forever. So if we have the Son, we're a member of the family, and because he abides forever, he says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Now, let's just be real. We must contend with sin so long as we live in these physical bodies and we have this human nature. And occasionally, we sin. That's just being real. I'm not excusing it, not blaming, not anything like that, but that is just the reality of where we are in our human experience. But if we believe and live by truth, we can experience increased freedom from strongholds in our lives. We can experience increasing freedom from sinful patterns of conduct. No, it's not always an instant deliverance like that. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's like, man, truth comes, there's instant freedom. Maybe an addiction is broken or whatever it may be. But sometimes there's a stronghold and it's just, you know, it's like deeply rooted. And we must believe truth and believe truth and live truth and believe truth and live truth and confess that truth until there is ultimate freedom and we are set free from that pattern and lifestyle and bondage that has been controlling us. There is freedom for the people of God. The truth is, Jesus set us free from sin. That's truth. But it's up to us to live that truth out in our everyday experience. So it's the truth I believe that sets me free. It's personal. Let me read you a few verses from Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we'll put them on the screen there, beginning of verse 17. Romans 6:17, the Bible says this: "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching to which you were delivered." Notice this in verse 18. "And having been, that's truth, having been set free from sin, you became slaves or servants of righteousness." Then verse 19, this is kind of our personal experience in our daily walk. "I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh." For aren't you glad that God remembers that we have our human weakness? What did Jesus tell his disciples there in the Garden of Gethsemane? "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Therefore, watch and pray." So he says in verse 19, "I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Your members. That is also translated as weapons or instruments of holiness. Sometimes when we, let me say it this way, even on a personal level, when I take communion at home or, you know, here in the church, in my mind I'm thinking sometimes, Lord, I thank you that you loved me and gave yourself for me. Your body was broken so that I might be made whole. You were rejected so that I could be accepted. You were forsaken so that I would be remembered. And then just to present myself and say, Lord, you gave your body for me. Now I want to present my body as a living sacrifice for you and my members as instruments of righteousness unto holiness. And just use that scripture sometime when I'm partaking of communion to focus on the Lord and to offer myself afresh every week or however often it may be to the Lord, just, you know, committing myself to him, thanking him for what he has done for me. And he loved me and gave himself for me. I want to love him and give myself to him. And even though I fall short, my heart is there. I'm wanting to do what I can. I'm wanting to believe truth, and I'm wanting to live it out every day. And I picture it like Lazarus. You know, when Jesus called Lazarus forth from the grave, Lazarus could not bring himself back to life from the dead. Jesus spoke the word and brought him forth. That's like coming into spiritual life, and he was free in a sense, but yet he was bound. The Bible says he came out of that grave bound up in grave clothes. And I look at it like every time I take in truth and I believe the word of God, I believe Jesus, I believe the written word of God, that I believe it, and as I begin to embrace it and just apply it to my life, whether anything looks like it's changing or not, I'm unwrapping a little bit as some of those old trappings of death are loosening and they're coming off. And, you know, for some people, maybe at times we go through a season in our life where we're kind of bound by resentment, or we're bound by unforgiveness, or we're bound by some drug, or we're bound by malice, or we're bound by some controlling thought pattern or some compulsive behavior, or we're bound by just an over, whatever it might be, overspending, oversleeping, overworking, overeating. We're bound, and there's a controlling factor, but I believe truth, and I believe it, and I keep believing it, and I want to sing it, I want to confess it and keep getting it in and keep renewing my mind and stay in close fellowship with Jesus, and I get a little bit freer and a little freer and a little freer and a little freer until I'm finally free from whatever that situation, maybe that stronghold is. And I believe it's important to remember that Lazarus didn't free himself. Jesus told those next to him to free him. And sometimes, you know, we don't want to let anybody else know our issues. And pride can just seal that and we hide it. Now, I'm not talking about revealing it in an inappropriate and unhealthy manner. I'm not on social media per se. I'm not against it. I may be, you know, sometime soon. I just go by what I hear. Sometimes people tell me, well, so-and-so said this, say that. They air all their dirty laundry for the world to see. That is not healthy. There is an appropriate and helpful manner to go to a brother or sister, say, hey, would you agree with me in prayer? I've been struggling in this area. Sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes that's all it takes, I'm telling you. And then that's like that thing is just, there's a breaking in the spirit realm, and then it helps us to live it out. But we've got to believe truth. It's the truth I believe that sets me free, and just keeping it real. So as we believe truth, it's so important to stay in close fellowship with the Lord. It's important to keep renewing our minds so we grow in Christ's likeness. And Christian, I'm talking about not just going to church, that's part of it, but having godly fellowship with someone is so important for our spiritual accountability and growth. It's the truth I believe that sets me free. And then as we experience that freedom, if we experience genuine healing, see, Jesus is free. Jesus is well. He's whole. As we grow spiritually in His likeness. As we grow in Christ's likeness, we grow in healing. We grow in wellness, wholeness on the inside, and we grow in freedom to worship and serve God without any hindrance or distraction. And when we experience that, we don't have to feel like we've arrived. Even if we're on the way, we can be a testimony of God's grace to others so that they will want to seek the Lord to experience freedom and healing and wellness in their own hearts and lives. It's the truth I believe that sets me free. The truth I believe sets me free. Would you say that with me? The truth I believe sets me free. So let me ask you this before I give you this third point. What truth of God will you embrace right now? Where do you believe you need freedom? You need wholeness. You need liberation in your heart, maybe in your mind, in your life right now. Will you embrace truth? Will you get that truth of God in you to experience that grace? The truth, I believe, sets me free not only from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, but it also one day will set me free from the very presence of sin. Thank God we will not have to contend with sin and its evil fruit forever. Thank God we do not have to experience the curse of sin, sorrow, sickness, the crying. Some are hurting this morning at the loss of loved ones. Some are hurting in their bodies. Some are maybe here, but you're hurting in your heart. We will not have to experience that forever if we know the Lord. That is the key. And sadly, Jesus said that in the day of judgment, many will be deceived. And many will think they were okay. That's what I'm saying about the belief. They will say, Lord, Lord, they had the right words, but they didn't have the right relationship. Jesus will tell them to depart because I never knew you. We never had, you're calling me the right words, but we didn't have that relationship. I was not your Lord. God was not your Father. And now, sadly, you are not able to enter in heaven. The only way to avoid that deception is by believing and living truth. The Bible says this in Revelation 21. I'll close with these scriptures. Revelation chapter 21, beginning verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I'm looking forward to no more pain. I did a little something to, man, I hurt one of my ribs this week. Oh my goodness, that's amazing. How when you get something sore, you realize how often I go to take a deep breath. The other night, I was snacking on my Skinny Pop. It got going down the wrong way. And, oh, my goodness. When I went to cough, I was like, feeling that. Oh, my goodness. Thank God. And I'm confessing my healing. And I started taking a leave. For at least a little bit, I got to do a little something here. But he goes on, he says, there's no more pain. See, brothers and sisters, all of that is a result of sin. I know people can look at the world or look at the news and even in our own personal experience and say, why did God, why did God, why did God? I know, I've done it myself in the past. But God is not the one to blame. Sin is the blame. And because the law of sin and death is in motion in this earth and in this life, thank God He did do something about it. He did something about it 2,000 years ago at the cross with His Son in the resurrection in Jesus. And one day this is going to be behind and there will be a new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells and we won't even remember this any longer. But the time to get in on that reservation is now. So he goes on and he says this. In at the end of verse 4, he says, for the former things have passed away. Verse 5, then He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, write, for these words are faithful and true. And then verse 6, and He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Thank God for the water of life today. The water of life is available to us. Let me close with this commercial I was thinking about years ago. I have no idea how many years ago it was. It came to my mind. And there was in the commercial, it was a desert scene. It was like just stranded, nothing, you know, nowhere around for anywhere in sight. And this man, you know how you might picture, he's wearing old dry, dirty clothes, dry-looking skin, dry, kind of matted-looking hair, like he's been dry for some time. Looks like his lips are parched. And he's coming along, and he sees someone. And he comes up to him, and he says, "Excuse me, but would you happen to have a..." whatever that particular brand of drink was. And the man said, "No, but I do have some nice cool water." And he puts a ladle into this cooler and he dips it out and he's going to offer it, and he offers it to the man. And the man says, "Oh, no, thank you. I really had my heart set on a..." whatever it was. So he walks off and continues. And I don't know if the Lord maybe brought this commercial to my mind or what, but where are you looking this morning for truth? Where are you looking for unconditional love? Where are you looking for joy that is not limited by circumstances? Where are you looking for peace that's not limited to human reason? Where are you looking for comfort this morning? Where are you looking for strength this morning? Where are you looking for healing this morning? Where are you looking for wellness? Where are you looking for liberation and freedom this morning? Are you looking to the living water of Jesus and the Scripture, or to the polluted streams of this world system, which can never satisfy? Now, we're in church. We all know the right answer, don't we? What do your actions testify? What do your daily decisions about your priorities and about your schedule, about your time, about your passion, about your finances, about health, about entertainment, about what do your daily decisions testify that you're really looking to the living water as a source of truth to meet your need, or something or someone else? The truth I believe sets me free. The truth I believe sets me free. Let me ask you this. How will you seek truth this week? Let's make it real, very practical. How will you seek truth? What truth will you take this scripture? Maybe take John chapter 8. "If you abide in my word, my words abide in you. You are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Maybe, you know, it might be another scripture. Whatever it is, where do you need that truth? Where do you need freedom and liberation today? Will you build it in? Will you make it a priority to get truth into your heart and mind this week? Brothers and sisters, let's not just be church attenders. Let's not just be online streamers. Let's not just be sermon hearers. Let's be word doers. Let's believe and live truth, because it's the truth I believe that sets me free. Can we stand and go to the Lord in prayer?